This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
From Psalm 113, page 755 from the Common English Bible, or page 563 in the New Revised Standard Version in the pew. Let us read responsively. Praise the Lord. You who serve the Lord, praise. Praise the Lord's name. Let the Lord's name be blessed from now until forever, from now. From sunrise to sunset, let the Lord's name be praised. The Lord is high over all the nations. God's glory is higher than the skies. Who could possibly compare to the Lord our God? God rules from on high. He has come down to even see heaven and earth. God lifts up the poor from the dirt and raises up the needy from the garbage pile to seat them with leaders, with the leaders of his own people. God nests the once barren woman at home, now a joyful mother with children. Praise the Lord.
Today's gospel reading is from Luke's gospel, 16th chapter. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus also said to the disciples, "A certain rich man heard that his household manager was wasting his estate. He called the manager in and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me a report of your administration because you can no longer serve as my master.' The household manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is firing me as his manager? I'm not strong enough to dig and I'm too proud to beg. I know what I'll do. When I am removed from my management position, people are going to welcome me into their houses.' One by one, the manager sent for each person who owed his master money. He said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 900 gallons of olive oil. The manager said to him, 'Take your contract, sit down quickly, and write 400 gallons. Then the manager said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 1,000 bushels of wheat. He said, 'Take your contract and write 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted cleverly. People who belong to this world are more clever in dealing with their peers than are people who belong to the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to make friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful with little is also faithful with much, and the one who is dishonest with little is also dishonest with much. If you haven't been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If you haven't been faithful with someone else's property, who will give you your own? No household servant can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And today I'm going to put some stuff on the floor. So if you could sit on the floor by me, it would be really helpful because I'm going to have you help me do some work. Okay. All right. So who here likes French fries? Anybody here like French fries? Do you like cheeseburgers and French fries? French fries? Yep. So have you ever been out to eat maybe and you order French cheeseburger and French fries? And mom or dad, they didn't get French fries. So you know what they do? What do? They lean over and take some of your French fries, right? grandpas do that too. And then they eat it too, right? And you say, oh, that's my French fry, right? Is it really your French fry? Who paid for the French fry?
Our mom.
Our mom or grandpa, yeah. So is it okay that they eat it?
Yeah.
I think so. That story tells me and reminds me a little bit about what Pastor said today or was talking about today. And we're talking about who gave us all these things? Who gave us French fry? God. God gave us all of these things, right? And so is it okay for us to share them with other people? Because they're not really ours, are they? Right. They're God's. All of these things are God. We used to sit over there. We took a trip one day. We followed Jesus. And we came over here. Yeah. All the way over here. And I think I like this place. But you remember, sometimes we don't know where Jesus is leading us. And we weren't sure that day. And we came all the way over here. And now sometimes it doesn't feel comfortable to be over here, does it? Sometimes we want to still be back over there. But we were following Jesus. And sometimes when we follow Jesus, it makes us feel uncomfortable a little bit. But it's still good over here, isn't it? We're just getting used to it. Yeah. So sometimes we hear people say this word. It's not a word we use very much. Tithe. Have you ever heard that word, tithe? Wow. What people say is, well, you should tithe. You should give back to God a tithe, 10%. So I have a dollar here. Let's put the dollar down. Does anybody know what this is? It's really tiny. This one's not a quarter. It's even smaller. It's a dime. Okay, how much is a dime worth? Do you know? 10 cents. Okay, so I'm gonna give everybody one. Can you give everybody one? Yep.
Would you like one? Okay,
thank you. Everybody got one? And I still have some more, because how many of these dimes make up a dollar? You got one? Okay, so let's put them up here. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you bring yours up? How many do you think will make a dollar? What do you think? Oh, thank you. Can you help us count? Let's count them. Let's count them together. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So 10 dimes. Nope, just 10. 10 dimes equals $1. Right? So a tithe would be one of those dimes. So can you put... Could you help me put one inside this box? He's going to help. Okay, can you get one of those and put it in my box? Thank you. Oh, awesome. So we put one in here. A tithe is one dime for every dollar. And we put it in and we give it to God. Oh, there you go, God. Yeah, very good. You know what? That wasn't very much, was it? We should give more. You're right. We should give more. So you're going to put some more in? All right, Gus. Good, good, good. You know what's pretty sad? Is a lot of times we don't even give that much. We don't even give one dime. We don't give one dime of our time. We don't give one dime of our talents. We spend 1 hour in church maybe, and if that's the only time you talk to God all week, that's really not one-tenth or one dime of our time. You put the whole thing in. Sure, go ahead. So, one of the things we need to remember is all of our gifts came from God, and we give them back. Now, Lincoln just put all of my dimes and my dollar inside my box, and I think that's pretty good. It's gonna fit. We'll make it fit. There we go. It's just on the top so we can see it. So what we need to think about is all the gifts that God's given us. God's given us talents for that we can share with other people. God's given us money. God's given us time that we can help other people. And we need to give that back to God because that's what makes us happy. All of our stuff, if our stuff makes us, starts to make us more happy than our love for God, that's trouble, right? Our hearts will not be happy. So we're going to pray in just a minute. And I want you to think this week, have I given God even a dime worth of my time this week or today? Did I spend time with God in prayer today? Yeah, let's think about that each day. Are we ready? Let's say a little prayer right now. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the gifts that you give to us each and every day. We know that all that we have is from you. We ask that you would help us to share those gifts with everyone that we meet. Help us to take care of the things that you've given us and help us to be responsible. Help us to think of others. And most of all, help us to think of you, to be in prayer with you each and every day, to sharing our gifts with you and all around us each and every day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Please pray with me. Almighty and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's passage from Luke's gospel is considered by many one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament to preach on. Personally, I would say it is probably the most difficult passage within the gospels to preach in our modern liturgical worship. We have this unofficial contract, you and I do, that between the hours of 9 and 10 a.m., we gather together for about 60 minutes, in which you more or less pay me to guide you through prayer and singing and reading a relatively small portion of Scripture, providing a concise and encouraging application of that scripture, along with its interconnectedness with the whole of Bible and the narrative arc of all eternity. No problem. And all of that gives you enough extra energy to make it through the week until you can come back again next week. Amen. Thank you, sister. It needs to be so much more than that. Based on the context of where we live, there are those who would say I have to do this respecting various other commitments, whether it be meeting friends at the food truck festival or noon kickoff for the Packers. I'll do my best. We'll see. No promises on that one. We need to see everything that we have. The main point of this text is that we need to view all that we have. Our bank accounts, our material possessions, our educational knowledge, our technical skills, our time, as having kingdom value. What you do with what's been entrusted to you in this life has a direct connection, a direct correlation to God's kingdom, to your understanding of salvation. Everything that you have within your control is to be used to make the lives of others better, especially the lives of those who have less than you. That is the biblical message in this text. Allow me to briefly unpack that and connect it. We generally talk about all of those things that we have earned in life. We earn a paycheck. We earn an allowance. There are certain things that we have to do, and we have these contractual obligations that we have earned that. And we feel good when we have earned something, whether it's by working, bartering, maybe wise investing. We talk about these earnings in a way that too often is unbiblical. The more that we view money and the material things that we accumulate as being earned by us, the more that we are actually denying God's sovereignty. Little by little, we've allowed ourselves to be deceived into believing that everything we have is the result of our own doing. We've earned it. What you and I do and the decisions you and I make as individuals, yes, that does have a direct and vital impact, but we must never allow God's power, God's presence, God's purpose to be disconnected from the things of this world. And we must continually give thanks to God for all that we have. Now, you've likely noticed that I use the phrase, all that God has entrusted to our care, rather than saying all that has been given to us, all that we own, all that we have, that we've earned. When I talk about money and material possessions of this world, I realize that we can't and we shouldn't disconnect money from our life, either our worldly life or our spiritual life. We need money to live, but how we view money, how we view material possessions is critically important to how we view salvation and kingdom living. If we go back to St. Augustine, 4th century Christian bishop, philosopher, theologian, he believed that money has a direct relationship with God's kingdom. What you and I do with money is equated to how we are participating in building God's kingdom. For Augustine, the human heart operates with a spiritual gravitational pull. Our eternal destiny is tied to whatever we love the most. In Luke 12:34, we read, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If our desire is to misplace earthly possessions, then our heart is going to perish with perishable things. If we truly desire God, our heart and our soul is not going to be held down by material attachments. We're not going to be bound to this world. We're going to rise up, receiving an eternal reward in heaven. Now, even that bound down and rising up duality has some problems with it, but we try to wrestle with these theological issues as best as we can. You see, Augustine believed that when the wealthy possess more than what they really need, that they're holding what rightfully belongs to others. This way of looking at money and material possession, it casts charity not so much as just a generous gift, but as an act of justice, a repayment of a debt. This view is based on the biblical law spelled out beginning at Leviticus 25, ultimately fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Social imbalances, they were corrected, debts were forgiven, and slaves were set free. And even land was given a sabbatical rest during what's called the Jubilee year. This Jubilee year provided kind of a reset of sorts for Israel's economy, for the social structure. It acknowledged God as the ultimate owner of everything, including the land itself. We have strayed so far away from this biblical view of creation in our modern world. We need to regain this biblical view of life and material possession that Augustine taught. Augustine used a powerful analogy of two travelers on a road. They're on a road to heaven. One is weighed down by excessive possessions, while the other is too hungry and burdened by need to be able to make the journey. That first traveler has to give some of their excess to the second, not only to help the poor, but also to lighten their own load of spiritual load. And by sharing together, both are able to continue that journey to heaven. From this perspective, it's the rich who love their possessions for their own sake, who become spiritually isolated. Augustine argued that the love of earthly things creates an uncleanliness of the heart that weighs down the soul and it separates it from God and others. By neglecting the poor and the needy, that greedy person spiritually removes themselves from the true Christian community. Christian community based on sharing, mutual support. We need to see neglecting the poor as an act of injustice which fractures the spiritual and communal bonds of our Christian society. We need to see how giving to the poor restores the proper order of things. It reconnects both the rich and the poor to God, to one another. Our identity needs to be shaped not by what we own, not by what we do as a vocation. Our identity needs to be shaped through kingdom values. That's another way of saying today's passage. Your identity, my identity, who you are in the deepest and fullest sense is determined by kingdom values. Unfortunately, for many, our eyes have been blinded by the world that we live in, and we don't even know how to see that. We don't know what it is. When we read this passage, most of us read it conditioned by our modern world, and we see the rich man as being the most important person in the passage. He's the one who's in control. He has the power. He sets the standards of expectations. He hires, he fires. He has all the power, and that's the anchor point of this passage for so many people. We idolize people like this rich master. All we have to do is look on social media, look on the news. Where are we gravitating towards? Who do we talk about? The richest sports athletes, the richest singers, the richest stockbrokers and business people. From that perspective, it's almost impossible to make sense of verse 8. Where the master commends this dishonest manager for giving away so much of the master's wealth. That just doesn't make sense to many people. So maybe here's another way that we can read this text and understand it that makes it make sense for us. Think about the rich master realizing that he had lost most of what our modern investors would refer to as unrealized gains. He also realized that this dishonest manager not only ingratiated himself with many influential people around the community by forgiving the debt that they owed, but he also made this rich master look really good to those same people because he made it look like the rich master is the one that's forgiving their debt. The rich master couldn't really do anything to this dishonest, shrewd manager. Because if he did, then people would know that he was really greedy and it didn't actually come from him. He was caught. There really wasn't much he could do, but he also knew he hadn't really lost anything except a bunch of unbiblical interest. And along that line, we need to remember that Jesus is telling this parable in a setting where he wants the Pharisees, the religious leaders, to hear this message. It included a command to observe a Jubilee year, correcting the imbalances of worldly wealth and power, which the religious leaders of the day were no longer really doing. They were getting richer and richer and richer. Kingdom values resets our identity within the shared life of community, not about us as an individual. When we can value being in community, sharing together with one another. That is when we understand kingdom values. All we have to do is look down the long list of organizations and ways in which our family of faith helps to contribute to those who are in need, that we can see that yes, we have good, healthy kingdom values. And yet, are they really as healthy as maybe God wants them to be? Or is it healthy enough that it doesn't cause too much discomfort? We're still comfortable. Next Sunday, I'm going to conclude this series on kingdom living by sharing what I believe is a real, true, deep key to a healthy identity, unlocking a way, living out that joyful kingdom life as a follower of Jesus. It builds off of these choices that we make, the values that we put on things. But in all that we do, may we strive to see that all that is entrusted to us has value. And may that value be determined based on the economy of kingdom values, not worldly values. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.